Thank you, Father. Be pleased to unite us in love as we meditate upon your truth. We realise that a desire to please Christ our Saviour is not an optional extra for those of us who have chosen to live the spiritual life. Rather, true love, the Jesus kind of love, is basic to our Christian sanctity. It isn't a cherry topping, it isn't even the dessert, but the main course. Be pleased to open our minds and hearts, dear Saviour, to the wonderful possibilities and potential of divine love lived through folk like us. May this love be not a theological concept we resort to when it's convenient or when we merely want to feel pious. May this divine love be the gentle yet clear-cut, definite and unambiguous controlling force to which we have committed our lives. Amen. Hello, dear friend. This is Keith Nolan, and I thank you for joining together with me in the Spirit of Christ in this brief meditation, which I'm calling A Lifestyle of Love. It's an important matter and continues, I believe, to be one of the most pressingly needed among people of all Christian denominations and groups. Let's begin with something from my notebook. Some time ago, I came across a story told about Sam Rayburn. He was the longest-serving speaker for the United States House of Representatives. Sadly, the teenage daughter of one of his friends died. Early the next morning, Mr. Rayburn knocked on his door. "I just came by to see what I could do to help." His friend, the bereaved father, thanked him and said there was nothing he could do. "Have you had your coffee this morning?" The man replied that in the circumstances, no one had bothered with breakfast. So Sam Rayburn made his way to the kitchen. His sorrowing friend followed him in and said, "Mr. Speaker, I thought you were supposed to be having breakfast at the White House this morning." "Well, I was," he said, "but I called the president and told him I had a friend who was in trouble and I couldn't come." How reminiscent this is of the Bible text that tells us, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep." Love is more than, other than, merely feeling emotional affection for another, even if it's a friend. The really important kind of love, a lifestyle of love, is the Jesus kind of love, is the showing of benevolence. It's doing the kind thing, the thoughtful, friendly thing, even when it involves losing legitimate profit or prestige. Remember the story Jesus told about the Good Samaritan? It's in Luke chapter 10. The point Jesus makes is not primarily that the so-called good people, the religious folk, refused or neglected to help the man who'd been beaten up, robbed and left for dead. We are surprised and disappointed, of course, at their shortcomings. But the main thrust of the story is that a despised Samaritan, supposedly a theologically unsound half-breed, made time to help his enemy. Jesus says, "When he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up the wounds of the bruised and battered Jew, so much so that he was willingly out of pocket over the help he gave." He may or may not have been a wealthy man, we're not told. He may have been no better off than the well-known church mouse. That isn't the point. He gave not only his time and some of what he had, but also a part of himself. He had compassion. Here in Great Britain, we've usually been pretty good at this kind of thing on a national scale, both at home and abroad. Sometimes to our own apparent loss, but not really to our loss. I'm thinking of those words in Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 and 2, where we're told, Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. That's from the Message paraphrase. Internationally, nationally, locally, we are by no means hard-pressed to find those who need our love. There are multitudes of hurting, needy people, those with bruised economies, those with bruised and battered self-esteem, and even those with a low opinion of life itself. And whether we have a full purse or an empty one, we can often provide them with the wholesome bread of our willingly given time and effort. In gratitude for our eternal Father's love to us, we'll give them an open hand when we can manage it, and open ears and an open heart all the time. In the Authorised Version, the first part of that Ecclesiastes text goes like this: Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. There are at least three important and outstanding lessons in these few words. One, it must be thy bread. That is, our own, honestly got, not another's. We may only give what is ours to give. Two, the word cast suggests doing it freely, at a venture, whatever the result. In much the same way that merchants in those days would trade by sea, trusting the elements to bring them safely home again. And here's the amazing part for those of a so-called more practical mindset. Three, what we give away will return to us at a later date. I have no idea how or when, but the universal spiritual law seems to be, in the popular saying, what goes around comes around. What we give, we get. What we sow, we reap. Somehow, it's inevitable. The fact is, we are not told whether the Good Samaritan was ever repaid or even thanked by the man he had helped. Again, that isn't the point. The point is that, according to the Master, being neighbourly, thoughtful, friendly, without expectation of any reward, is showing genuine love, even if the one we help is perceived to be an enemy. I have often thought that if governments worldwide will make this a part of their everyday philosophy, wars will cease forever almost overnight. Always assuming, of course, that in the mercy of God, the world's arms manufacturers could also be helped to see the light and turn their clearly inventive minds and manufacturing methods to products that will bless and not blight the whole of humanity. This kind of thing has to begin somewhere, and if our supposed representatives won't do it, perhaps it's time for some of us to show them how we want it done. After all, in the story Jesus tells, it's an individual, not a government, who shows the needy enemy what real love is all about. How may we summarise a lifestyle of love? The Good News Bible puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. Father, only you can teach us how to love, really love, in the everyday circumstances of our lives, and only you can give us the power to do so. A lifestyle of love, divine love, is best learned, we are sure, at the feet of Jesus. You have bought us, sought us, and brought us to the Saviour's feet. Help us, constrain us to expressions of love which, without him to help, would be impossible. Be pleased to live your life, your love, through us, that we might be more like our dear Lord and Master. Amen.